it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two balls, two strikes, two down with the bases loaded. Chapman, he is ready. He throws. Fastball swung on and missed. He got him. Chapman leaves the bases loaded, and the Red Sox win game one, 3-1 in the Bronx. An absolute gem from Crochet. Yoshida, a huge hit, and a dramatic yet thrilling save for Chapman.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Christian Arcand.
Welcome in, Red Sox Review. Victory Central here on WEEI, your flagship home for Red Sox baseball. And the Red Sox coming through big here tonight. Their most important, the three guys, the most important guys that were picked up in the offseason, all playing a huge role in this one here tonight, from Garrett Crochet and his fantastic start, Alex Bregman with his great day at the plate, and Aroldis Chapman getting a four-out save by the skin of his teeth, getting into a bases-loaded, nobody-out situation, pitching his way out of it. Crochet, incredible. Really nice day at the dish for a lot of guys, including people like Nick Sogard, Masataka Yoshida with a great pinch hit appearance there. Bregman, as I said, got on base three times in this game. You really got a lot of contributions from a lot of different places. And this was going up against a Yankee starter in Max Fried, who was locked in. I mean, this guy, I got annoyed with him because he was nibbling so much, you know, just nibbling all around the edges of the strike zone. And a lot of times, really getting calls that were so close. I mean, right at the corner. And if it was just off by a little bit, sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't. He ended up with three walks, which is three more than the Red Sox allowed either one of the pitchers who pitched, Crochet and Chapman. Neither one of them walked a single batter. Meanwhile, that was a bit of an issue there for the Yankees. Fried pitched his way out of trouble that he got into mainly from the walks. Carlos Narvaez walked three times in this game, and it was really a chess match in a lot of different ways. It was a total chess match, and it seemed like the Yankees were winning it. Volpe got that cheap home run. I mean, it wasn't that cheap, I guess, but it kind of was. And you know what was funny with that home run with Volpe? As soon as he hit it, he turns right to the Yankee dugout and points at him like, hey, thanks. Whoever told me that pitch was coming, thanks a lot. You could tell there was a lot of that going on, and they were calling it out all throughout the broadcast. Aaron Judge is slapping his helmet, you know, telling them what grip they're holding on to, which, by the way, is perfectly legal, and there's nothing wrong with that. It would have been nice if someone on the Red Sox could have been signaling back home, hey, Fried's about to throw the changeup, because I swear to God, not one Red Sox hitter hit that thing the entire night. It was just an unhittable pitch, it seemed like, and the Red Sox unable to really solve Fried, but as soon as they went to that bullpen, Luke Weaver comes in, and it just all unraveled right away. And if I'm a Yankee fan, I am not happy with Aaron Boone and his decision to take Fried out of there after 6 1/3 innings. I would have let him keep going. He only had 102 pitches, and it's the playoffs here, folks. It was a one-run game. It's not like he had a big lead. That was a huge break for the Red Sox, as that Yankee bullpen, pretty soft. Although Cruz and Williams, who aren't really all that great, ended up being the ones who put the fire out. Weaver was awful. Bednar was not very good either. And the Red Sox able to get some base runners and manufacture some runs. They didn't hit any home runs tonight. They're not a big-time home run hitting team. And the Yankees are. And when the Yankees got that home run from Volpe, you thought, uh-oh, maybe Crochet doesn't have his best stuff. Maybe this won't be his night. Maybe you're going to have to go to that bullpen early. And then first inning, he pitched his way out of. Second inning, just the home run. And after that, he didn't allow a base runner until very, very late in the game. So that, to me, is indicative of a guy who was ready for this moment, ready to be able to step in and pitch at Yankee Stadium in basically a one-game playoff. No one's ever come back from being down 1-0 in one of these series so far. I know there hasn't been that many. It's not a huge sample size we're working with here, but I don't think that's just a coincidence. You know, I don't think that that's one of those random stats that has no bearing in, you know, anything relevant. I think that that's a realistic thing here, and you had all your guys step up. You had Trevor Story, who was not himself at the plate tonight, struck out three times but had two big hits and scored one of the runs. Sedan Rafaela, that's Sedan Rafaela at bat. That might have been my favorite at-bat of the whole game, including at-bats where, you know, Crochet with the emphatic strikeout to end his night, or even the last strikeout of the game. And that last Crochet strikeout, 100 miles an hour right there on the corner for Austin Wells. Oh, my God. What do you do with that? I mean, what could you possibly do with that? There's no way you're hitting that. And he knew it. Everybody knew it. It was awesome. That was an awesome game. Really, really just a great game. Even better, of course, because the Red Sox won, but just all of the tension, all the pressure, all the strings that had to be pulled. Nathaniel Lowe coming in to pinch hit. Abreu, Masa Yoshida coming up huge with that two-run single as a pinch hitter. There were some questions here about this lineup. I certainly didn't feel great about it. Nate Eaton, Nick Sogard in the lineup. Rob Refsnyder leading off, you know. I mean, I like Refsnyder against lefties, but against Max Fried, I sort of felt like maybe you just want your best guys out there. And, you know, they had a hard time with Fried. But as soon as they got to that bullpen, boy, oh, they had all the bullets in the gun ready to go. And the Red Sox come away with a 3-1 victory, a 1-0 series lead, one more win, and the Yankees are done, headed to the golf course for the rest of the year. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to stay up late tonight. We'll go till 11, and then we'll go past 11. How about that? We'll go till 12. Joe Weil is going to come in the 11th inning. He'll be my Aroldis Chapman, come in relief, and get that loud. Hopefully he doesn't give up three singles in a row to start off. It'll be a much less stressful night, I think, when Weil comes in relief. But I'm here with you. Until then, I'm Christian Arcan. We're going to hear from Alex Cora, we'll hear from Garrett Crochet, and we'll hear from Aaron Boone, who was going to be second guest all up and down the tri-state area, which, by the way, are the only people who are allowed to buy tickets to these games. If you are a Yankee fan and you don't want to listen to the fan, you want to call in and yell at me, feel free. Yankee fans, we'll allow you on our post-game show, okay? I know you won't allow us into the Yankee Stadium to come and watch these games, and I see why. You know, if your offense looks like that, I wouldn't want extra people seeing it if they don't have to. Makes sense to me. But if you want to call in and have it out with me, I'm here, 617-779-7937, because we don't have rules like that. We don't have rules like that here in Boston. You want to come on? We welcome that. All right? You can shut us out, but we'll let you in. And that goes for Joe Weil, too. All until midnight. If you want to check in with us, we're here. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll get back with your phone calls. Alex Cora, Alex Bregman, who's on the podium with Garrett Crochet, and we'll hear from Aaron Boone. That's all coming up next.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
They're up on their feet at Yankee Stadium. 3-2. The pitch is strike three called. 100 miles an hour. Wow. At the bottom of the zone. And the last pitch Crochet throws tonight is his 11th strikeout. And he mows them down. Wow. In the Bronx. What an outing for the Red Sox ace.
117 pitches, and the last one was 100. The whole inning, he was 98, 99. Just unreal. This is your ace. That's exactly what you're looking for.
Oh, yeah! Start spreading the news, New York. One game, and it's over. Red Sox, that man right there, Garrett Crochet.
I thought Austin Wells was going to have a nervous breakdown on his way back to the dugout. Did you see him? He was like, what am I supposed to do? He was like talking to himself. 100 miles an hour right there at the knees, right there at the bottom of the strike zone. Turn it up. I want to hear more Frank. I want to hear Francis. Yes. Oh, man. When they had the bases loaded with nobody out, I was scared. I was terrified. I was starting to think, you know why I was terrified? Because it was starting to look like maybe Aaron Boone was going to outmanage Alex Cora. What does this four outs say? What do we need him for four outs? He's not ready for this. He's been sitting too long. And his velocity was not... Turn it back up, Zach! I didn't say turn Frank down yet. This is the smooth part of the song before it really starts to get good. Actually, wait. Turn it off so we don't... I don't want to have a copyright problem for any of these clips. We'll turn it back up later. We'll hear plenty of Frank tonight. Don't you worry. We will have Francis Albert Sinatra playing on the jukebox all night here tonight as the Red Sox take down the Yankees by a final score of 3-1. Garrett Crochet, 100 miles an hour right there at the bottom of the strike zone. Unhittable pitch. That last pitch from Aroldis Chapman to Trent Grisham, unhittable pitch. Just electric, really electric at Yankee Stadium. An electric night for this Red Sox pitching staff. And, you know, it wasn't the greatest not, it wasn't, you know, some big show of power from the Red Sox bats, but they were good enough. They were good enough, and the pitching took care of the rest. And when this team was at its best this year, that was the dynamic. You know, during that stretch in August and July, not so much in September, but certainly at the end of July and through most of August, when it was Crochet, Giolito, and Brian Bello, who we're going to see tomorrow night and who in his career has owned the Yankees like almost no pitcher in history. I know they did get to him in that last start, but prior to that, Bello's been one of the best starting pitchers against the Yankees ever in the history of Major League Baseball. He's been awesome against them, and I expect to see him go out there and pitch well. I know it's not been great for him in the month of September. I know he has fallen off a bit, as had Giolito before the injury, but I think Crochet, that was an inspiring performance, and I think the Red Sox are going to come out tomorrow, and they're going to be all hands on deck here. Yankees are going to have to be, obviously. And with Rodon, it's going to be a little bit different. I think that Alex Cora, if Bello starts to show even a little hint of uneasiness, he's going right to that bullpen right away. And that's not going to be a hard call for him. With Rodon and Aaron Boone, listen, Aaron Boone just took out his starter tonight, and that ended up being the worst mistake he's ever made. I don't think he's going to know what to do with Rodon tomorrow if he starts to have any kind of trouble. He might panic and pull Rodon quickly, and you know what? If that happens, that's great news for the Red Sox, because this Yankee bullpen is not very good. I mean, really, they made a big show of signing closers and then at the deadline trading for closers and getting all these relievers in here, and man, that bullpen is just not what they want. I mean, they really you never really feel good about any of them. Bednar, I know he had a tough stretch and then got better, but he was tough tonight. Luke Weaver was awful. You know, you really didn't get much. You really didn't get much from that pen at all. And the Red Sox, if they can get into that pen early, and if Boone starts to get a little jumpy because, you know, maybe he felt like he left or he pulled his guy too early here, you know, we'll see what happens with Rodon. Maybe he leaves Rodon in too long. But a game like this, that can have you second-guessing yourself, and the Red Sox didn't have a problem like that at all. Garrett Crochet goes out. He had the two outs in the inning, but you know, no one really had a big problem with Cora going to get him there and have Chapman pitch the ninth. It wasn't really a problem until he started the ninth inning and gave up three straight singles, and his velocity was down about 3-4 miles an hour. He got it back and was back to throwing 100-101, but that would have been a very easily second-guess decision there from Alex Cora had things gone differently in that ninth inning, and it really looked like they were going to. 1-2-3 singles in a row? You kidding me? With Stanton coming up? Come on. I was freaking out a little bit, all right? Not going to lie. I was freaking out over here. And Red Sox come away with the win. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We've waited long enough. Let's get to your phone calls. And we will begin, as we always do on Red Sox Review, even in the playoffs, with our postseason now leadoff man, Casper in Worcester. Hey, Casper.
Hi, Christian. Thanks for playing Old Blue Eyes. I love hearing it.
Sure.
Cora was a master manager tonight. We have a fresh Whitlock for tomorrow night, and the whole thing is flipped. Taking this first game is critical. It's just unbelievable. It's a yubba-dubba-doo day. With that said, I know there's a lot of happy callers ready to call in, but things are really looking good for us. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Casper. Thanks for checking in. Always good to hear from you. Thanks for leading off the show. I will say this. As much as I'd love to just say, well, they won the first game, and so far teams that win the first game are 12-0, and that means that they're definitely going to win this series, that is not a very impressive statistic. I'm sorry, it's just not. It's just not. I think that statistic is much more of a coincidence than anything else at this point. You know, I don't think it's a total coincidence. You win the first game, then you know, it's more pressure on the other team. But that doesn't seem like some unbreakable record, does it? I guess coincidence is the wrong word. It doesn't seem like one of those things that's never going to be broken, you know, like being down 3-0, which took 100 years before anybody came back from being down 3-0, you know, like or something like that. It's being down 1-0 in best of three. That means you just got to win two in a row. Teams win two playoff games in a row all the time. Teams come down from being down 3-1 and win two in a row to tie it up at 3-3. That happens all the time in all sorts of different sports, in baseball, in basketball, in hockey, etc. Like, that's not really that impressive. Like, I just, you know, like, I know that that's the way it's gone so far, and that the odds are certainly in favor of the team that goes up 1-0. But I don't think that that's some unbreakable record. You know, it's one of those things that's never gonna, it's gonna stand forever. And when it finally happens, oh, what a big deal it's gonna be, like when the Red Sox came back from 0-3. No way, it's not like that. But I still think it's a huge advantage for the Red Sox. I mean, how could you not? 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's get to our number two hitter in the lineup, Johnny in Brooklyn. Hey, Johnny.
Johnny dropped.
Oh, Johnny dropped. All right, let's go to Mike in New Hampshire. What's up, Mike?
He also dropped.
Oh, come on. How about Brad in New Hampshire? Brad.
Hey, what's going on, Christian?
What's up, Brad?
So, I think that Cora went with Chapman in the eighth because if they would have brought in Whitlock, I think they would have brought in Ben Rice off the bench. And he's got some pretty big pop in his bat. And I also think that Whitlock will be a lock for tomorrow for sure. And Crochet's nails. And if Boone loses his series, he's going to lose his job, I think.
Yeah, you might be right about that, Mike. Thanks for the call. It was not a very good night for Aaron Boone. Yeah, Aaron Boone is a guy who really, I'd say, got his team playing very well in the month of September. It was against mostly bad competition, but I don't think that matters. They went 18-7 in September. All right, the Red Sox went 13-11 by contrast. Yankees had their best month of the year at the end of the season. And that, I think, you have to give some credit to the manager for. You do. You know, Judge was coming back off an injury. You got a bunch of tired pitchers. You got a bullpen that's really bad, and you're trying to win these games in spite of it. Like, that's a lot for a manager to have to deal with over a span of a month. But in this case, where every pitch is, you know, life and death, the spotlight's right on you. Every single thing is micromanaged and microanalyzed, and taking Max Fried out of that game. I don't know. I don't know. Red Sox had a lot of trouble with him. A lot of trouble. They fought him off a couple of times. Didn't barrel a lot of balls off him. He was all over the edges of the strike, so he was pissing me off a little bit, honestly. You know, nibbling around the strikes like he's Dice K. I was like, challenge one of these guys, would you? And he just wouldn't. You know, he just wasn't doing it. And, man, that changeup was just devastating. Oh, devastating. Through the first couple innings, they couldn't hit that changeup swinging a surfboard. And that was, you know, I mean, just watching that and watching him work and seeing Crochet with that first inning and the two singles and then the home run to Volpe, it seemed like this game was going to go a very different way after the first two innings. I thought this game was going to go very differently. It looked like it was heading towards a Yankee lead and the Red Sox maybe coming back. And I don't mean a 1-0 lead. I mean, like, it looked like it was going to be, you know, a tougher lead to come back from. I was expecting there to be like three or four runs maybe, a couple more cheap home runs, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, Crochet not exactly hitting all his spots, not looking like his normal self. And then all of a sudden, after that second inning, he becomes the Terminator, right? He's just, you know, he just locks in, and that's it. Strike zone, boom, 100 miles an hour, you're not touching me. And that's the way this game went. 617-779-7937. Let's try Ron in Medford. Hey, Ron.
You know, I got to tell you, Christian, if Boone isn't the worst manager in baseball, as soon as he pulled Fried, I mean, how do you not have look, if it was a 7-game series, I could see him pulling Fried, because obviously he's gonna get another start, maybe might even commit to a game 7 for an inning or something. How do you pull this guy with 95 pitches the way this guy was pitching? As soon as they pulled him, I texted my son and I said, the Yankees are gonna lose this game. And one other thing before I go, that at bat with Rafaela against Weaver. Yeah. Like, Weaver's body language, once Rafaela fouled off a lot of tough pitches, you could see his body language. He looked like he was tense, nervous, and credit to Rafaela for that. That was a really good at-bat.
Yeah, it was. It was tremendous. And thanks for the call, Ron. I appreciate it. As for the Max Fried point you made, I agree with you 100%. It wasn't even, it was 95 pitches. It was 102 pitches. So he was up over 100. But so what? Really, so what? It's the playoffs. It's the playoffs. He was dazzling those hitters out there. And he had just gotten Duran to ground out. You know? Weaver comes on against Rafaela, gets him 0-2, just completely baffles him with a couple of changeups to start the at-bat. 0-2 count. Foul ball, foul ball. Ball upstairs. Foul ball. Ball down and in. Foul ball. Foul ball. Another changeup. It's a ball way low. And then he tries to blow a fastball by him. He pulls it to the left outside, and Rafaela walks. His best at bat of the year, maybe, that didn't involve a walk-off home run. Like, I mean, I'm not kidding. Rafaela tonight, I thought, put some great at-bats together. He was much more patient than he usually is. And I don't know if that finally got through to him or the playoff or what, but Alex Cora finally was able to get this guy to stop swinging at everything. And I know he fouled off a lot of pitches in that at-bat, but he was protecting 0-2. That's different. I don't really have a big problem with that, especially when he was taking some pitches. All night, he was taking pitches. And that's not really been the most natural thing in the world for a guy like Sedan Rafaela. So to see him develop that in the postseason, develop that sort of mindset, I think is really nice. You know, it's just one game, and we'll see what the rest of the series looks like, the rest of the playoffs look like. But that was a tremendous at-bat. And Nick Sogard, what can you say about him? Yankee fans are going to be having nightmares about Nick Sogard tonight. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're going to pause right here, get to more of your phone calls in just a moment. But first, let's hear from the manager. Here's Alex Cora.
There's going to be starts during the regular season that we have to take care of, guys, for this. You know, 85 pitches against the Mets, skipping a start here and there, the All-Star break, doing all that stuff is for this to happen, you know. And you have to make sure you stay with the process. That's the most important thing. So for how great he was tonight, I tip my hat to the medical staff because they've done an amazing job with a guy that had never pitched 200 innings, have never made more than 30 starts, have never pitched, you know, 7 2/3 in the playoffs. You know, it's a total team effort, and I made sure the training staff, you know, knew how I felt.
Okay, we're going to go on the back to Duke, right?
Alex, when you guys acquired Crochet, you knew he was good. Did you ever, in your wildest imagination, think he would be this good?
Yeah, in my wildest imagination, yes, yes, I did.
Okay, we're going to go to Tim over here on the left.
When he comes out for the eighth at 100 pitches, and then it's 105, 110, 115, are you taking a batter to batter at that point, or is there a point at which you...
No, not really. Matchups, I think that was it. It wasn't batter to batter. We felt that was a good pocket for him, and the stuff was really good. Knowing that we had Witt and Chappie ready, in case if it was first and second, probably it's Witt. Man at first, two outs, it was Chappie, but never hesitated, and like never felt like this too much because of the reasons I just told you. You know, we did a good job throughout the season for him to be fresh going into the playoffs, and he proved it today.
In the brief history of the wild card series, the winner of game one has won every time and advanced to the division series. What do you think of that?
I mean, hopefully we can continue that. We got a tough one tomorrow again. You know, Rodon has been amazing throughout the season. You know, they obviously going to have their left-hander hitters in the lineup. You know, we got Brian, who likes it here, has pitched well throughout his career, but I expect the game to be just like this one.
Okay, I'm going to go here, Tara on the right.
Alex, we ask a lot of analytics questions to you about baseball, but how much would you say was just your gut with Crochet today, your baseball mind, or did you kind of know all the scenarios, or was your just your gut and how he looked in play today?
I think it was him.
He's what do you mean by that?
Yeah. I mean, the stuff was still really good at that point. He was throwing 97, 98. The previous inning was a quick one, so gave us a chance to push the envelope in the eighth. It was a quick inning against a pocket that gave him kind of trouble early in the game, so I didn't hesitate. You know, I told Bales he's going out, and he did his job.
Sorry. In an era where pitchers almost never pitch that long, what is it in Crochet's makeup that you saw him having the ability to do that?
It started yesterday. We were joking around that for some reason our front office was in the bullpen checking something over there, and he was in the dugout with me, and I told him we should call the bullpen, and he's like, tomorrow you're going to make one call to the bullpen. I said, maybe two. He's like, no, one. He's going to be straight to Chappie. I'm like, okay, I'll take that, and that's how it worked out.
What is it in his makeup that...
He's just a guy that wants it bad, to be honest with you. He was in a situation last year that he was learning how to become a starter. He got traded to become the ace. He got paid like an ace. And since day one, he's acted like that.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go back there on the right.
Alex, with the ninth inning and the bases loaded, no outs, just kind of what's going through your mind right there?
Stay calm. Stay calm. That's all you can do. just make pitches. They were aggressive, right? They didn't hit the ball hard in that inning, but they were getting hit. So you just trust the guy, you know, and he's been one of the best, if not the best, closers in the game. So just let him go. And he made some pitches.
Stay there with Rob.
When did you decide that you were going to do the Chapman thing and just stay away from Whitlock?
When there were two outs, and they got some good left-handed hitters on the bench. Rice was there, and it's not that I don't trust Witt against him, but I trust Chappie against the righties. You know, that's something we talk about in preparation today before the game. Like, hey, you know, our lefties are really good. Wilson and Chapman and Matz. If there's a chance that we can just keep the righties in the lineup and take our chances, we're going to do it.
Okay, one last one here with Ian.
Just, Alex, down 1-0 in the seventh. You get an 11-pitch walk from Raffaello. You get Sogard going, getting a double on what looked like a single, and then Moss's pitch hit. I mean, what did you think about
that? Yeah, I felt like second time through the lineup, we were putting better at-bats. Narvaez had a tremendous game today, you know, being patient, taking his walks. Sedan did an outstanding job. Sogi was freaking amazing, you know, and Nate did the same, right? So I felt like if we keep pushing, you know, that pitch count, we were going to get to the bullpen. Sedan down 0-2, I think it was, get some base. And from there, it was just about mixing and matching and trying to maximize the roster.
Just, you know, Sogard stretching that running on Judge.
Yeah, that's preparation. You know, we talk about their outfielders and what can we do or what we cannot do. And he saw it right away and took advantage of it.
Alex Cora speaking after the game. Red Sox take down the Yankees by a final score of 3-1 in game one of this wild card series. We're going to take a quick break. We'll hear from both Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman, as well as Yankee manager Aaron Boone. That's all coming up next here on Red Sox Review.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Massa digs in. Weaver throws. Massa swings and rides one into center field. Base hit. St. Don scores. Sogard behind him. Hello, Macho Man. Two-run hit. And the Red Sox lead it 2-1.
Alex Cora, we talk about it. He's such a good manager, pushing the right buttons in these big games. He sticks with Sogard. He comes through. He brings in Yoshida. He comes through. It's a new ball game.
Macho Man Masataka Yoshida coming through huge for the Red Sox tonight, as he has been all through this month, really. A very unlikely hero for this team. I thought that Masataka Yoshida was a black hole in the lineup, taking up money, taking up that DH spot, and now he's a real weapon. I mean, what a tremendous turnaround it's been for him this year, as he is now a real weapon for Alex Cora in the lineup, coming off the bench as a pinch hitter, whatever it is, he has been delivering.
Did you know that the Yankees are the first team in Major League postseason history to have the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth inning and not score a run and lose the game? They're the first team to ever do that. History being made again by the Yankees in a playoff series with the Red Sox. Doesn't that make you feel good? Doesn't that just warm your heart a little bit? If it's not already nice and warm, it should be. Should be after a game like this one. A game like this one the Red Sox fans had to watch on TV or listen to on the radio, unless you happen to live in the tri-state area, and where phone lines are open, by the way, for everybody down in those parts of the world. I know if you're a Red Sox fan behind enemy lines, this is a safe space for you to call in, absolutely. And we'll be taking phone calls for the rest of the evening. We will also hear from Aaron Boone from the Yankees. We will also hear from both Alex Bregman and Garrett Crochet, who spoke to the media in tandem up on the podium. We'll do that in just a moment. But first, let's go back to the phones, starting with Harpo and Warwick. Go ahead, Harpo.
What's up? I'm just thinking, you know,
You know who came through for the Red Sox was Yoshida. So stoked on that. But you know who almost didn't come through for the Red Sox?
Who's that?
Freaking Alex Cora putting Chapman in the eighth inning. That made me sweat in my boots.
Yeah, Harpo, listen, that was that was almost a very questionable call. Thanks for the call, and thanks for checking in. Listen, that was a game everybody was sweating in their boots. Even if you had gone to Whitlock there. You know, I mean, listen, maybe it would have been different. Chapman coming back out. He sat for a while after getting that one out in the eighth. He did sit for a while. The Red Sox came out there and got some work done, but then, you know, comes back out there. Three straight singles. He didn't allow a hit in the month of August, and he gave up three singles in this one inning tonight. But the Yankees, as I mentioned, and I feel like I should mention it again, are the first team in Major League postseason history to have the bases loaded with nobody out in the bottom of the ninth, but not score a run and lose the game. History. History in the making, ladies and gentlemen. It's great. 617-779-7937. We move from Warwick, Rhode Island, down to Florida. David's in Florida. Hey, David.
Hey.
Hey.
There we go. I got a few questions for you.
Shoot.
First, has Chapman ever had a four-out save this season?
Yes, he did. He blew a save in June. He did a four-out save, and he blew the save. That happened. I think they won the game, but he blew the save.
All right. I mean, I'd like to know what went into – I mean, I was thinking he was going to bring Whitlock out for that one out and then bring Chapman in the ninth. I mean, I'd like to know specifically what Cora was thinking. I mean, it worked out, but, I mean – that's not how they planned it.
No, and you heard Alex Cora after the game, David, just real quick, say that there was a thing with Crochet. He said, no, you're not going to another reliever. You're going right for me, right to Chapman. And he wanted to make sure he went deep enough in the game for that to be able to happen. I don't think having Chapman go for a four-out save in a playoff game is a crazy thing to do. I also don't think that you needed to save Whitlock from one out. Like, oh, well, you saved Whitlock. He'll be nice and fresh. If you only pitched them for one out and then went to Chapman in the ninth anyway, then what's the difference? I don't feel like that's going to be so much that Whitlock's overworked and he can't pitch tomorrow. Like, that wouldn't have made a difference.
No, I mean,
so, yeah, I think that's a little bit questionable, too.
No, I mean, I actually give Cora credit for bringing him in for the four-out save because I think that was the right move. He's the only guy in the bullpen who's been consistently reliable this whole season. And, I mean, I give Cora credit for that. And the other thing is that, like you were saying a while ago, after the first inning when the Yankees went, the first two batters got on, and then I thought they were going to put up a 2 or 3 spot in that inning too, and the Red Sox were going to be playing catch-up the whole game, which they did, but it was only one run. I thought it was going to be – I was thinking, oh, boy, had the Yankees go with a crooked number in their first inning.
Mm-hmm.
But Crochet came back, and he's just a force to be reckoned with. And now, I mean, they still have to get one more, and it's not going to be easy tomorrow night. And with who's, I mean, now that Giolito is out for this series, is Bayo,
David. Yeah. Thanks for the call, David. Thanks for checking in. It's going to be Brian Bayo tomorrow against Carlos Rodon. That will be your starting pitching matchup. And, yeah, I mean, listen, Bayo has tremendous numbers against the Yankees. Look him up. He's been one of the best starters the Red Sox have ever had in their whole history of the two teams against the Yankees. He's been that good. The last time he pitched against the Yankees, they did touch him up a little bit for the first time ever. But other than that, he's been nails. And you look at all the momentum that New York had, just in the month of September, them going 18-7, taking 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox at Fenway a couple of weeks ago, almost sweeping them. And you look at the way the Red Sox finished the season. They had that stretch where they lost like 8 out of 13 games in September before they started to pick things up towards the end against Toronto and Detroit. You know, the Yankees beat them, and it seemed like the Yankees had passed them. There was a time when the Red Sox beat them in the Bronx, I thought there was a real chance then that they could pass them in the standings. And the Yankees put a stop to all that in September, boy. They said, no, 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 you're not passing us. Watch this. And they went off and had a crazy month. I don't care. It was bad competition. Doesn't matter. They went out there. They got the job done. And they did it when it counted. And the Red Sox ended up having to sweat out the end of the season. More so than they should have. Not as much as Detroit and certainly not as much as, you know, a team like Houston. but who didn't make it. But more than they should have. They should have been a lot more comfortable in that wild card than they were. They should have been competing for the AL East, and they weren't. And the Yankees were. They didn't get there, but they were. But that's all out the window now. None of that matters now. You go out there, you lose that first game like this, and that momentum comes to a halt. Red Sox have the momentum now. A Yankee team that was already feeling a lot of pressure is going to be feeling it tenfold tomorrow, I think. And if they get knocked out in the first round by this Red Sox team, I do think that could be it for Aaron Boone. As someone who still remembers 2003 very well, I don't ever wish to see a person lose their job, but I'm not a fan of Aaron Boone. Who's a fan of Aaron Boone? 617-779-7937. I'll tell you, someone who's probably not a fan of Aaron Boone, that would be Ellie in New Jersey, who's calling in from behind enemy lines. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, my name is Ellie, and I'm 10 years old, and I'm from New Jersey. I just wanted to say that the Red Sox had a great game tonight, and that I can't wait to go with all the Yankees fans at school tomorrow. Go Sox!
Ellie, that's awesome. Show them where you don't let them give you any nonsense either. You tell them exactly what happened. You tell them the Yankees ran into a buzzsaw with Garrett Crochet, and you strut your stuff tomorrow at school. That's great. Shout out to you, Ellie in New Jersey. And, wear that Red Sox gear tomorrow with pride. That is, it's not an easy thing for a 10-year-old to do. But I have a feeling Ellie's going to go into school tomorrow and show everybody what's what. Let's go to Johnny in Brooklyn, who just called back. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Arkan. Shout out to Ellie. thanks for that. I wanted to say, great win tonight. Amazing. What did you think in the eighth inning? Chapman throws over to first base three times. That rule, you can't have that rule in the playoffs. But what was that? It's not really a competitive throw there. Yoshida.
No, you know why? Because he realized, I can't keep throwing. You know, he realized it as he was doing it, and that was the balk anyway. So it looked awkward too. But I think that was it. He realized it in the middle of the pickoff. He was like, I threw too many times, and that was all it was. But yeah, you're right. I mean, he's got to be able to ignore Volpe over there on first, because the Red Sox have done that to a lot of teams this year.
All right, but you can't have that rule in the playoffs. Guys dancing around there, it's ridiculous. It's a playoff game. Okay, then you got Heim Bloom somewhere taking credit for Yoshida tonight. That was amazing. You got the mismatch with Cora and Boom. I love it. And you know what? At midnight, when your show goes off, I encourage Red Sox fans to switch over to the Fan, because Yankee fans are going to be must listen to. We win tomorrow. We get a darn report on Wednesday, buddy. Let's go.
Yeah, Johnny. Johnny in Brooklyn checking in. Obviously, we'd prefer you leave it here on our defined programming at WEEI, but I do believe the Fan goes all night local, which we don't. It's just we don't. If we win the World Series, maybe we will. I'll have to talk that over with Ken. We'll have to work that into my next contract.
I believe that's what KJ and Lyons did when the Celtics won the finals.
Right?
Yeah, they went until 5 a.m., and then there was a Shine Power Hour into the Greg Hill Show.
There you go. I've done a couple when the Patriots, back in my first stint here, but we're getting way ahead of ourselves. When the Patriots won the Super Bowl, I remember leaping into the arms of Fred Smirlis as we watched that game all night, and then I stayed on, I think, until like 3, 4 a.m. I don't remember exactly. I don't think I made it all the way to the end. I don't think I did, made it to Kirk and Jerry in the morning, but it was definitely late. It was definitely late into the night. We're not going to go quite that late tonight, but yeah, sure. You want to hear what Yankee fans are saying? I can tell you what they're saying. You don't have to flip over to the Fan. I'll tell you what they're saying right now. I can't do a good New York accent, but they're going, hey, I can't believe Aaron Boone. Oh, Aaron Boone. Fire Boone, fire Boone. I bet that's what they're saying. They're just yelling and screaming at McPherson over there, who was very good, I thought, on the midday show today. Poor guy. he's getting yelled at by a lot of angry New Yorkers tonight about Aaron Boone and how he should be fired before this next game even starts. I guarantee you that's where this conversation is going. That is what they're talking about on WFAN. But we're talking about the Red Sox and how they were able to come away with this 3-1 win tonight. Garrett Crochet, and how that was, as Jeff Passan put it, the best acquisition of the entire season. He said that earlier this year. He did like the end of season awards, best acquisition. He gave it to Garrett Crochet and the Red Sox. And tonight he looks absolutely right. Aroldis Chapman, you could say, was number two, because those two guys have been the two of the best pitchers in the league this year. Not just starters and closers, but two of the best pitchers overall in the league this year. And the Red Sox acquired them both in the offseason, extended them both, gave them both, you know, a good amount of money. One young guy, one old guy, and they have been kicking ass since they got here. And they kicked ass again tonight. Although that was a little dicey there at the end with Aroldis Chapman, no question about it. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let's try Steve in Centerville. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, hey, Christian, thanks for taking my call.
Got it,
you know, Christian, I'm going to a request for you. Can you make a public service announcement?
Maybe.
For Red Sox Nation?
What is the announcement?
Yeah, so the announcement would be, how do we escape these announcers on the national program who are clearly Yankees fans, i.e. David Cohn? It sounded like we were listening to a funeral tonight. If you listened to the game on the national program and you weren't faithful to WEEI, and you might have listened to it on ESPN, it was like we were watching a funeral. So can you just tell us, how can we escape that, maybe get the 3-second or 4-second delay and be completely faithful to WEEI?
Well, thanks for taking the call. You got it, Steve, and thanks for checking in. And I don't really know how you do that. You got to figure that out for yourself, I guess. But I can tell you, I did watch the broadcast, and I did flip over from the radio broadcast to here. A couple of things. Number one, for some reason, the ESPN announcers kept calling Garrett Crochet the Beast. Did anyone else notice that? He's not the Beast. No one's ever called him the Beast before. We call him the Pig, okay? Or the Hog, or the Hoss, or something. No one's ever called him the Beast. I've never heard anyone call him that. Not one person. And I've been with this team every single night. I've taken phone calls every night after every one of his starts, give or take a few on the weekends here. I've done people call in and say everything you could say about Garrett Crochet. Not once have I ever heard anyone call him the Beast. Maybe someone has said he's a beast, but he's the Beast. I've never heard anyone call him that before.
I think that's what the team calls him.
Okay. If they have, it's never, ever come out before. No one's ever said that before. I hear the Pig, I hear the Hog, I hear the Hoss. I've never heard the Beast. If that's what they're saying behind the scenes, they have never let that one slip. Either way, that wasn't my biggest problem with the broadcast. My biggest problem with the broadcast is that every time the Red Sox made an out to end an inning early on in the game, whoever was mixing the audio for ESPN, the whole thing started clipping, and it honestly sounded like a kid playing with like a My First tape recorder. Like, it was brutal. It was really hissy and bad. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that's never happened in our studio before, but this is ESPN. This is ESPN playoff baseball. And they couldn't figure that out for like 6 innings. It was ridiculous. I was like, what is this? Every time the fans made any sort of noise, it just completely dominated. It was, you know, like blew out the speaker. I don't know what was going on with that. I thought that was pretty weird. Anyway, not a great broadcast. That's why you should always leave it on WEEI and listen to Will and other Will. And of course, Lou, who will be back again tomorrow. That trio, who were tremendous tonight, I thought. Absolutely tremendous. Great info. Great calls. Just a great game. Great game to listen to. Okay, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We're a little late, so we'll take this break here. We'll come back, get to more of your phone calls, and we'll hear from the starter, the Beast, I guess his name, Garrett Crochet, and also Alex Bregman, who was a beast at the plate tonight. That's coming up next.
Oink! Oink!
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
In the offseason, you traded for a Crochet for a night like this, and you signed this guy right before spring training for an at-bat like this. I'd give you a little cushion heading into the night.
For another guy who's signed for a moment like this in Chapman. Two balls, two strikes. 2-1 Red Sox. Insurance in scoring position. The 2-2 is lined down the left field line. This is a fair ball. It's off the track and off the wall. Story comes home. Bregman, his signature Red Sox moment. Insurance in the Bronx. And it is 3-1 Boston.
That's life.
Oh, that's life, Yankees. That's life when you throw a hittable that's pitch to life. Alex Bregman, who was 2-for-4 with a walk tonight. Great night from him. The only other Red Sox hitter to get on base 3 times was Carlos Narvaez, who walked 3 times. Nick Sogard had 2 hits. Trevor Story had 2 hits. Yoshida with that 2-run single. back on top in June. Oh, not in August, though. Not in September. Not in October, Yankees. October, it's over. Red Sox can close the door tomorrow, and I hope they do, because I don't know who's going to start for them in Game 3. Connelly early, probably, probably. But let's not find out. Why even open that door? I see no reason to. I say you just get this done tomorrow, and let's get on to Toronto, a team that you just handled pretty well out there at the Rogers Center, a team that prior to the last series that they played was really unraveling. Not quite to the extent that the Tigers were, or the Astros for that matter, but they were third, okay? They were third. They should not have had a challenge at that in that AL East, and they did. They lost a lot of games in September in those last 2 weeks, and I think they're vulnerable as well. They don't have a starting rotation. The Red Sox moving on, they go on to face Toronto. They can beat that Toronto team. They can beat that Toronto team in 5 games, I think. You know, that Gausman start will be a tough one. After that, who do they have? Scherzer? You know, I mean, that's basically it. They're going to have to throw Scherzer. And Scherzer's cooked. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Finish it tomorrow. We don't have time to listen to Crochet and Bregman. Joe Weil's going to have to do that. We do have time, though, to get to more of your phone calls. Let's go to Luis in Hyde Park. Go ahead, Luis.
Christian, two things. One, are you Christian Arkent, formerly of the Sports Hub?
Yes, I am, Luis.
Oh, shoot. I'm glad I found you. I used to love your content.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm here. I'm here after every Red Sox game.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. Bregman, kind of overrated game. You did not bring him here to do that. You brought him here to be kind of a leader, right?
Not here to do what? To hit an RBI double and give him an insurance run? What do you mean?
His first two at-bats, he looked completely overmatched. He looked like he was still hungover, you ask me. He looked like he was still hungover.
Well, his first at-bat, he singled in the first inning. He singled in the first inning, so not his first at-bat.
That was a cheapy single.
What do you want? It's Max Fried. Max Fried was dealing. Luis, thank you for the nice words, but why are you all of Alex Bregman had a good game.
First of all, if you were still on the Sports Hub, you'd know I'm a Rafi defender.
Okay.
Right? I feel like they swapped him, so sorry.
All right, enough about the old station, by the way.
I don't know, man. Like, make some hard contact. Don't look. He looks disheveled up there also. Like, I don't know. Get some vitamin C on your skin, bro.
All right, thanks, Luis. Rafael Devers batted 190 in the month of September, so I'm all right with Alex Bregman. And listen, I didn't love the Devers trade either. I thought it was a stupid trade. But, man, listen, you know, it's worked for him. You can't deny that. Let's go to Joe in a tent in New Hampshire. Joe, are you really in a tent, or is that just like a gnome de plume?
No, actually, I'm actually camped out. I'm on Level Lake, not far from where you actually like to spend your free time.
Up in the Lakes region, of course.
No, a lot of people in the house are like, what's Cousin Joe doing out in the tent? And I literally wanted to listen to the game, the call, because I knew Lou's in the booth, I knew the Wills, you know, all that. But listening to the Red Sox postseason, you know, like, is like, man, I'm not an old guy. I'm like, I just really, really dig it. You know, it's like, there's something, the anticipation and when you're hanging out by yourself, my friends and I used to always joke about watching Super Bowls. It sounds a little arrogant, but with the Patriots, that's across sports. But we would actually ignore people when they invited us to be in a group setting because you wanted to watch. You just wanted to watch, and going to the tent is listening to the game like today. And you guys do such an amazing job. I think you could relate to it. You know what I mean? Listening to the game on the lake is something different, right?
Yeah. Joe, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. And glad you had a good night. Glad you had a nice experience. Sounded like he went on like a vision quest, you know? He's like, yeah, I went out of the house, went in the backyard, told everybody I'm out of here. You know, sat in the tent, had a little peyote. No, I'm just kidding. You know, listen to the Red Sox. No, theater of the mind. That's what we're all about here. And I just want to give extra props to those guys all year long. Will Fleming, Will Middlebrooks, Lou Maloney, Lenny DiNardo, Mike Monaco, Sean McDonough, Cooper Boardman, everybody who called the game this year, I thought they were all tremendous. I really did. I thought that they brought this season to life in a way that was really, really special, and I think made for a great listening experience all year long. So big props to those guys. They did it again tonight. Let's go to Jimmy and Woburn. Hey, Jimmy. Oh, we lost Jimmy. Jimmy wanted to talk about Crochet's nickname, and let me just say, I heard Lucas Giolito after the game say, yeah, we call him the Beast. So I guess they call him the Beast. I didn't know that until right now. I did not know that until tonight. I thought on ESPN they were just making up a nickname, but no, apparently that's what they call him in the clubhouse. Didn't know that. Didn't know anybody ever said. Never heard anyone say that. Never heard anyone report on it. It was always just the pig and the hoss and the hog, and that was it. And I was perfectly fine with those. The war pig was the other one. And he was wearing like a war pig shirt, wasn't he? So, I don't know. I mean, listen, you can call him whatever he wants. You can call him Cy Young for all I care, because he was pitching like that tonight. All right, let's try Kevin in Manhattan. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Christian. Big fan of yours. Listen to you for a lot of years. You say it like it is. Love you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Hey, big shout out to Ellie behind enemy lines. Yeah. I've been here for 30 years, standing on Wall Street, you know, coming from Cranston and, like, dealing with all this. For years and years. And I remember the big, you know, the game with the Who's Your Daddy game.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the World Series way back. That was torture. But, you know, you just run this topic of the Crochet the Pig. I'm not a big fan of the pig. He is a beast. I had Yankee fans all around me. They're like, this guy's a beast. And then we bring in Chapman and they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to do with this guy? All right. It's just, you know, Yankee fans are terrified. And one thing I would say about for Red Sox fans, just for tomorrow night, just step it up. I didn't realize there were so many Red Sox fans until we're walking out of the Yankee Stadium. And like all these Yankee Red Sox fans are like going, yeah, they're all cheering Red Sox, Red Sox. Didn't hear it from them the whole game.
Really?
Guys, step it up. It's all these kids today. You know, they just like, they got all their expensive jerseys going back. You know, they got Poppy jerseys on probably before they were born. I don't know. Step it up. Show some real Red Sox, fandom here. Step it up.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you very much. Kevin in Manhattan from behind enemy lines in the house that Masataka Yoshida built, New Yankee Stadium. Because he owns that place. All right, that's all the time for me tonight. I'm going to step aside. Coming on in relief, much like Aroldis Chapman did, hopefully without the back-to-back-to-back singles, is Joe Weil. He is standing by in our Brighton studio, so we'll throw it over to him. And I'm done for the night. I'll be back tomorrow at 5:08 on the dot for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Red Sox with a chance to eliminate the Yankees and move on to the ALDS to take on the Toronto Blue Jays. That could all happen tomorrow night. Brian Baio on the mound. Carlos Rodon should be a good one. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Here's Joe Weil. I'm out of here. Good night now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.